Throughout the Bible, there are women whose stories are central to the narrative of God's redemption of his people. These women came from different cultures, experiences, and social statuses. They are often overlooked, but they have been there all along. And to discover them, all we have to do is look. You have noticed that the stories of the Bible are mostly driven by the actions and decisions of men. And the words of the Bible were mostly written down by men. The one possible female author is Priscilla, who might have written the book of Hebrews. But let's also notice that women are always there in the biblical story. Women are present and often extraordinary. In this series, we are telling the stories of five women, extraordinary women. Their journey includes both leaps of faith and the faltering missteps that they sometimes enter into. The lives of these women do remind us once again that God does extraordinary things through people who faithfully trust and follow him. Today, I will tell you the story of Miriam, older sister to Aaron and Moses. Miriam was instrumental in saving her baby brother's life and instilling in Moses a humility in walking with God and a devotion that prepared him to talk with God face to face. Miriam became a prophet and co-leader with Moses and Aaron. Together, these three siblings became spirit-filled compass, which guided Israel all the way to the promised land. This is very important. The misstep from Miriam's story stems from the sin of the envy of Moses' relationship with God that caused Miriam to grasp for more power and responsibility and influence. The key lesson is that we must be content with the responsibilities that God has given us and the influential role that God has placed upon us. Well, Miriam's story begins in Egypt. Miriam's childhood in the slave culture of Egypt was one of fear and uncertainty. She and her three-year-old brother Aaron had godly parents, Amram and Jochebed, who trusted the God of Israel. But the king of Egypt hated Miriam's people, the Jews. 350 years earlier, in the glory days of Joseph, the Pharaoh of that day was a friend of Joseph's family and welcomed them to settle in Egypt and to flourish there. But this current king had long since forgotten Joseph and the God of Israel, and he decided that the Jews were a threat to Egypt, so he unjustly stripped them of their wealth and influence. And now, in Miriam's lifetime, they were made to serve the Egyptians as slaves. Pharaoh instituted a brutal ethnic cleansing by ordering that all boy babies should be drowned in the Nile. Miriam's mother, Jochebed, was pregnant with her third child. The baby was due any time. What if it was a boy? As every parent can understand, Amram and Jochebed plotted to spare the life of their baby boy, and they did. Moses was secretly born, and Jochebed hid him for 3 months. But when this was no longer safe, she prepared a papyrus reed basket, waterproofed with pitch, and during the daylight hours, baby Moses was hidden out of sight in the reeds of the Nile. There is no small irony that the baby Moses is actually given a life by floating on the very river that should have taken his life by drowning. The remarkable ways of God. And the story tells us that Miriam, likely a young teen, is discreetly watching on shore for the safety of her brother Moses. Exodus 2 records it this way. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went, got the baby's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." It must have been very wonderful for Miriam to know that she was involved in saving her baby brother's life. It doesn't take much imagination to figure out that she had a possessive big sister interest in Moses all the rest of his life. I wonder how Miriam felt when Moses moved into the luxury of the palace and the rest of the family stayed in the slave quarters. I don't think it mattered how different her life was from him, from his. Miriam always thought of Moses as her little brother whom she had helped save. I suspect that in those early years, Miriam's family must have talked this way. "Well, this is such a special child. He is going to have all this high quality training and contact in the palace. Maybe God is going to use him to deliver our people from this oppression." Well, the day came when Miriam's hopes for Moses were dashed. Moses, who had become a powerful military leader in Egypt, attempted to rescue an Israeli from harsh treatment by an Egyptian, and he killed the Egyptian. Consequently, Moses had to flee for his life to get away from Pharaoh's revenge. Moses now was 40. Miriam was around 50, and it would be 40 years before they met again. During these years, I can imagine how Miriam felt: disappointed, bitter, helpless, abandoned. Her hope for a deliverer of Israel had ended with her brother being forced to run for his life. I can imagine her bitter tears as she cried out to God. And during that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God, and God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac and Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. Well, it was now God's time to deliver Israel, and he chose Moses, the fugitive, the failure, who by now had made a whole new life for himself in the land of Midian. He married a wife, Zipporah. They had two sons. And he spent all of his days taking care of sheep, not even his own sheep, but his father-in-law's sheep. That's quite a humbling practice for a prince of Egypt. But that's where Moses was when God called him out of the burning bush. After his call from God, Moses obeyed God, and he went back to Egypt and told his people that God had sent him to deliver them from Egypt. Their years of slavery would soon be over, and God would deliver them with a mighty hand and destroy the nation that had enslaved them for hundreds of years. The next time we hear of Miriam is on the Exodus trip from Egypt. Now, try to put yourself in Miriam's place. She sees the fearlessness of her brothers, Moses and Aaron, as they thunder God's commands to Pharaoh. She sees God confirm their message by the great miracles that they did. She sees one plague after another devastate and humiliate the Egyptians. These were her brothers, and God was using them to defeat Pharaoh. I wonder what she was doing in that six-month period that this whole contest was going on. I suspect she was a huge support to her brothers. Finally, the unforgettable night of the Passover came, and then Israel left Egypt with the mourning cries of the Egyptians echoing in their ears. Every home was mourning the death of a firstborn child. It had seemed impossible, but here Israel was, likely several million strong, going out of Egypt on their way to their own land. God had kept all of his promises to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to this generation. and he had delivered them from Egypt, and Moses and Aaron were appointed with specific roles to lead them. Miriam was there when this vast number of people came to the impassable barrier of the Red Sea. Miriam was there when they looked behind them and saw the chariots of Pharaoh bearing down on them, either to take them back to Egypt or to kill them. Miriam was there when God opened a path through the sea and that whole army of people walked over on dry ground. Miriam was there when Pharaoh's chariots and horses stepped into the same path and the walls of water that had stood firm for the Israelites crumbled and filled that whole dry bed, drowning the mightiest army of that civilization. The Israelites were free. Free forever from Egypt and all of its cruelty and bondage. It was a time for joy, a time for singing. And Moses led them in this song. Exodus chapter 15. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he is hurled into the sea. In that day, the worship style was that one group would sing in praise and then the other would answer in response. It's called antiphonal singing. And then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea." They danced and they sang back the same words. This reminds me of a song that we sing in worship. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall, for fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side, forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Miriam demonstrated the influence of her leadership. At this early and momentous time of God redeeming the people from Egypt, she takes a complementary role with Moses and Aaron in leading the people in praise and worship. The women followed Miriam in their singing and dancing their praises to God. Miriam was right in step with Moses in godly influence. Right here, Miriam is named a prophet. She's the first woman of the Bible to be called a prophet. This is a recognition of her great influence in speaking the word of God in worship. In the Exodus, Miriam joins her two brothers as the three people who led God's chosen nation: prophet, priest, and king. Try to imagine for yourself what it was like as Israel began the journey to the promised land. Miriam was involved in everything that happened. She heard the complaining when the water ran out, and she saw God's provision. She heard the complaining when the food ran out, and she saw God send the manna 6 days a week for 40 years. Jewish tradition informs us that Miriam married a man named Hur. Hur was known as the man who stood on one side and Aaron on the other side as they held Moses' arms up when he was praying over the battle with the Amalekites. Miriam heard the awesome voice of God as he thundered from Mount Sinai and gave them his law. And then came the exciting days when the tabernacle was being built, God's dwelling place in the camp. The women were very important in the finishing of that project. Women brought their gold and silver jewelry, their earrings and their nose rings and bracelets and rings, and their expensive fabrics and their fine yarns to offer them before the Lord. Willing women, skilled in weaving and sewing and embroidery, worked on all the coverings and the curtains. Miriam was likely the leader of the women. She was a pace setter. She encouraged them in their work. She led them in worship to God. The prophet Micah preached the word of God 500 years later. And in chapter 6, verse 4, he preached this: "I brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, and also Aaron and Miriam. Miriam was God's prophet to the people of Israel. Understand how gifted she was, how privileged she was, how influential she was. About 2 years after the Red Sea crossing, the Bible gives a story of Miriam allowing sin to take hold of her heart. It's found in Numbers chapter 12. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they asked? Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. Something happened to change Miriam, the protective sister, the prophetess, the leader of women, from the supporter of Moses into the critic. She began to talk against Moses. The Bible says that the presenting issue was Moses' new wife. Moses is 82 by this time. Apparently his first wife, Zipporah, whom he had married 42 years before, now had died. And Moses' new wife is a Cushite. The land of Cush was near Ethiopia. Cush was a descendant of Ham, who settled down in this area of Africa. The woman probably was black. Was this racial prejudice from Miriam and Aaron? Did Miriam not like another woman having an influence in Moses' life? At the very least, it indicated contempt for Moses' choice of a wife. But the root of the sin was envy of Moses' relationship with God that caused Miriam and Aaron to compete for equality before the people. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they asked? Hasn't he also spoken through us? And they began to talk to each other about Moses. And the complaint was for equality and responsibility and influence. We all know how it's done. Motivated by pride and jealousy and envy, we tear down other people or we rebel against the leadership that God has placed over us. This can happen in the home, in the church, in our families, or at work. And it's the most destructive thing that we can do. We talk about someone to someone else. It's a small spark. And then it spills over with a critical comment to another person. And the gossip and slander of the tongue become like what James describes, a raging fire. And the Lord heard this. They were not whispering complaints to others in secret. And God called Miriam and Aaron and Moses before him and said, Moses is my chosen leader for the deliverance and the redemption of Israel. I speak to him face to face. Miriam and Aaron, I do speak to you, but in visions and dreams. This envy and gossip is your rebellion against my authority on Moses. And this rebellion is against me. Verse 9 of Numbers 12 says, and the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. And when the cloud lifted from above the tent, Miriam's skin was leprous. It became as white as snow. And Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had a defiling skin disease. And he said to Moses, please, my Lord, I ask you, do not hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. So Moses cried out to the Lord, please, God, heal her. Aaron sees with shock his sister's condition. Aaron is the high priest. He's the one to intercede with God. But what does he do here? He appeals to Moses to intercede with God for Miriam, and he calls Moses my Lord. He is acknowledging Moses' authority, and he confesses his own complicity in their sin. And he pleads in touching words for Miriam. And Moses' response is moving. Oh God, please heal her. I hear that these two brothers really loved their older sister. And God did heal her, but not before Miriam experienced the full consequence for her sin. separation because of leprosy, the most feared disease of their time. Put her outside the camp and in 7 days bring her back in. I think this gossip had spread through the camp, and because of it, there was a public consequence of Miriam's discipline. Miriam, the leader of the women, the prophetess, who wanted to be equal with the leader whom God had appointed, was sick, sent outside the camp alone, separated for 7 days. Was Miriam embarrassed, repentant, humbled? Do you think there was a loss of influence? I think so. I believe that now Miriam was content to be what God had called her to be, a co-leader with great influence, a prophet, but again, submissive to God under Moses' leadership. She had 38 more years to live under Moses' leadership, and she never challenged it again. In fact, we never hear her mentioned again until Exodus 20, when she's about 130 years old. Israel is on the border of the Promised Land for the second time. It's the first month of the 40th year, and here Miriam dies. It's clear that Miriam is still respected and still a woman of influence because they record her death. In fact, today, during the Jewish Passover Seder feast, celebrating the Exodus, many Jews add a cup for Miriam. It's a cup of water. For Miriam watched over baby Moses at the Nile. Miriam's well provided water for Israel in the desert. Miriam is remembered as a great leader of Israel in the Exodus. The Babylonian Talmud, which contains commentaries on the Old Testament law, stresses the importance of women like Miriam in the Exodus story. It says this: "If it wasn't for the righteousness of the women of that generation, we would not have been redeemed from Egypt." Miriam is an extraordinary woman in the story of God's redemption of his people Israel. Miriam took a great leap of faith to save baby Moses' life, and later she joined Moses and Aaron in using her prophetic gifting to lead Israel to the Promised Land. Miriam was influential in leading Israel in praise. But Miriam's misstep was the sin of envy of Moses' relationship with God that caused Miriam to grasp for more power and responsibility and influence. She made a play for power. Miriam was very influential, and she was held accountable by God for that influence. And Miriam likely lost influence because she was not satisfied with the limitations placed on her. So we need to be careful about falling into this sin. The key lesson is that we must be content with the responsibilities that God has given us and the influential role that God has placed on us. This is really important. Are you envious, looking at someone else and wishing that you could do what they're doing? Listen, you are uniquely gifted. You have influence. You have it all already. Are you satisfied with what God has given you to be and to do? Are you serving God wholeheartedly according to your gifting and your calling? Well, with this great story in our hearts and with the challenges that come from it, I want to invite you to bow with me in prayer. Father, today we ask you for your help to walk humbly with our brothers and sisters. It's all too easy for us to fall into envy that causes us to compete for equality before the people. Our pride reaches for power, but Jesus' humility reaches for peace. Lord, give us grace to be fulfilled in the responsibilities that you have given us and the influence that you provide. We pray that you will highlight to us what Jesus demonstrated, what it truly means to live a humble life, and that our own worth will be revealed by your light. Help us to value one another in this humble spirit, so that we may live to the fullness of your love and power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.